And to the angel of the church in Sardis, write, the words of him who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works. You have the reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Wake up and strengthen what remains and is about to die, for I have not found your works complete in the sight of my God. Remember then what you have received and heard. Keep it and repent. If you will not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what hour I will come against you. Yet you have still a few names in Sardis, people who have not soiled their garments, and they will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. The one who conquers will be clothed thus in white garments, and I will never blot his name out of the book of life. I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So in this week's letter, Jesus introduces himself to Sardis as him who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. It's a reminder, if you go back to Revelation 1, again, when you look at the vision that John sees, starting in chapter 1, verse 12, then I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me, and on turning I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the midst of the lampstands one like a son of man, clothed with a long robe, with a golden sash around his chest. The hairs of his head were white like white wool, like snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire, his feet like burnished bronze refined in a furnace. His voice was like the roar of many waters. In his right hand he held seven stars. From his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining in full strength. And then he goes on to explain the vision. When I saw him, I fell dead at his feet. I fell at his feet as though dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying, fear not, I am the first and the last and the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore. I have the keys of death and Hades. Write therefore the things that you have seen, those that are and those that are to take place after this. As for the mystery of the seven stars that you saw in my right hand and the seven golden lampstands, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches. So in his introduction to Sardis, Jesus is reminding them that he holds the life of that church in his hand. And it's an appropriate reminder to them because they have given up on their own spiritual life. This is so far the first congregation that Jesus has had nothing good to say about. Notice in all of the ones that we've read about so far, Jesus has started with something good that they have done in the congregation, something that they get right, and then he moves into the problem. But with Sardis, there's nothing good to say. In fact, anything good that could be said about them is a lie. He says, you have a reputation of being alive. That is, there are some people out there that have good things to say about them, but that reputation is a lie. You have the reputation of being alive, but you are dead. And so what Sardis is a warning to us about how we judge the soundness of a congregation. Sardis had the reputation of being alive. From the outside, they appeared sound, to use our own language of how we describe churches. But on the inside, in reality, they were dead. In fact, we should note, this is something really important about Sardis. Jesus levies no accusations against them about things that they have done. Right, what we would call sins of commission. Right, we saw, for example, in Pergamum and in Thyatira that they were engaged in false practices. They were eating meat sacrificed to idols. They were engaging in sexual immorality. They were doing things that they should not have been doing. There's no mention in this letter of any kind of false practice. There's no mention in Sardis of idolatry, no mention of sexual immorality, no mention of anything that they have done that is wrong. Instead, It's what they haven't done. Jesus says, "Wake up, strengthen what remains and is about to die, for I have not found your works complete in the sight of my God. Remember then what you received and heard, keep it and repent." They're guilty of what we would call sins of omission. And we tend to focus on the other type of sin. We tend to focus a lot on people doing things that they shouldn't be doing. So far, of all the churches where Jesus has pointed out they were doing things that they shouldn't have been doing, he's also pointed out that there's been some good to them, and they just need to repent of these false practices they're engaged in. It is this first church where we find them not doing anything, where Jesus has absolutely nothing good to say about them. They have so far received the worst condemnation of any church that we have seen Jesus levy at anybody, and it's because they are not doing what they're supposed to do. Not all is lost at Sardis, however. All right, just as we saw last week in Thyatira, Jesus will preserve those who remain faithful to him. And he doesn't lump them in with the dead, who apparently make up the bulk of this dead congregation in Sardis. Consider the way that Jesus describes these faithful people. He calls them people who have not soiled their garments. And again, this is the sort of language that we usually reserve for talking about sins of commission, when we're talking about purity versus impurity, right? You know, this image of people who have not soiled their garments, this is about people who have remained pure in the faith of Jesus Christ. And we almost always focus the conversation on what people are doing. Right? Well, how does somebody become impure? Oh, it's because they have done something. But you look at what Jesus has been talking about in this entire letter. Right? It's not that they have soiled them, that these people have soiled themselves with false practices, and it's not, again, that the contrast here is with people who have not soiled themselves with false practices. Jesus is describing these people who have not soiled their garments. They're the people that are doing the work. All right, we've got to get away from this mentality that if we keep our noses clean, as it were, then we're just automatically pure. Because that is not what Jesus teaches in this letter. Just because we've not soiled ourselves with evil practices doesn't mean that we're not soiled. All right, in fact, we should take our attention back to parables like the parable of the talents. All right, the fellow that buried his talent in the ground kept his nose clean, as it were. That's the defense that he mounts for himself. "I knew that you were a greedy master," he said. "I knew that you always tried to get things that aren't yours. I was worried that I'd end up losing the money if I went in on a bad business venture. So I just buried it and gave you back what's yours. See, there, fine." And the master in that parable says, "No, not fine." Failing to do what we know we ought to do is just as big a stain on us spiritually as doing what we know we shouldn't. Those who seek the purity of Jesus Christ will find it eternally. That's the promise of Jesus. If you are seeking the purity of Jesus Christ, you will have it for eternity. The reward here, I think, is kind of interesting. Again, he's talking to people who have not soiled their garments. And he goes on to say, "They will walk with me in white, for they are worthy." Now, what has changed there? Nothing. Up to that point, nothing has changed. The reward is these people get to stay as they are, right? Because they have sought the pure faith of Jesus Christ. And Jesus guarantees they will get to remain in it. In fact, he says that's the promise for everybody who seeks the purity of his faith. The one who conquers will be clothed thus in white garments. If we're faithful in seeking the life of Christ, then we'll find it. we shall be holy as he is holy. And we shall have eternal life as he possesses it himself. And he promises us more than that. Right? He says, I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. We actually just sang a song about this. Jesus tells us that if we are faithful to confess Christ and to own him, not just with our speech, but with our works as well, then he is faithful to confess and own us before his Father and before the angels. These promises are offered to all who will follow after Jesus Christ in sincere faith, doing the works which he commands. The call is to follow him. If your garments are stained, whether through activity or inactivity, we invite you to take the clean garments of Jesus Christ. Repent of your sins, confess Jesus as Lord, and be baptized in his name for the remission of your sins. Keep what you have received and heard from the gospel. If you're subject to the invitation, won't you come as together we stand and sing?